This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
I would like to welcome everyone who's here today, including everyone who's listening in on the internet. Would like to remind everyone, if we have cell phones with us today, please turn them to vibrate so that we don't have any disruptions. I would now ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Senator Curd, excused. Monroe?
Here.
Nostrup?
Here.
Stalzer?
Here.
Steinhauer?
Here.
Schoenbeck, excused. Kennedy?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. We would also entertain a motion to approve the minutes. Is there a second? We have a motion and second to approve the minutes of the last meeting. All in favor will please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Anyone who plans to testify today, I'd like to remind you to please sign in on the sheet. And if you have any handouts that you would like to distribute among the committee, please give them to our pages so that they can distribute them for us. And at this point, I've got one page to introduce himself, so if he'd please come forward, I'll let him do that. Please tell us your name, where you're from, and what your plans are.
My name is Caden Bundy. I'm from Garrison, South Dakota, and I plan to go to SDSU and major in ag business.
Very good. Thank you. How have you been enjoying your time out here so far?
It's pretty good.
Good. Does anyone have any introductions they want to make or any personal privileges at this time? Okay. If not, just one last reminder, procedure for this committee, we would like all questions to be directed through the chair and all testimony through the chair. So with that, we're changing the order of the agenda a little bit to accommodate some of the people who are here to testify. The first bill we will consider today is House Bill 1073, which is a bill to authorize special event alcohol licenses for full-service restaurant licensees. And we'll take proponent testimony at this time. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Commerce Committee. It's my first time before the Senate Commerce Committee. So I am Bob Ewing. I'm Senator from District 31, Spearfish. And this, I'm the prime on this side for House Bill 1073. All the hard work's been done on the other side. And I will have some people to follow to clean up what I make a mess of. The title of this bill is an act to authorize special event alcohol licenses for full service restaurant licenses. And this bill is a clarification for liquor license holders of the 60/40 license to be able to obtain a special one-day permit. Prior to 7 years ago, liquor licenses available in communities were based on population. Once the licenses available in that said population were purchased, there was no option for any additional licenses to be sold. Individuals that wanted to start restaurants in communities with no licenses available were not able to do so at that time. So, as I said, approximately 7 years ago, there was a bill passed that allowed for a different liquor license that would allow for a business to get a liquor license, but had several conditions to go along with it. The license would be purchased from the governmental entity, and it was non-transferable. So the individual did not actually own the license, and each year the sales had to be at least 60% food and not more than 40% liquor. And if that ratio wasn't achieved, the business would lose the license and had to purchase a new one. The statute was not clear on the special one-day license, so that's what this bill, the intent of this bill, is to follow these same laws. This bill would allow the 60/40 license holder to be able to receive a special one-day license that would allow that business to, if they were catering a special event somewhere, they could buy this one-day license and use it on off-site to market their liquor. And with that said, I'm going to let there's people to follow that have more to add to this. So thank you for your consideration.
Okay, thank you, Senator Ewing. Any other proponent testimony? Representative Hunoff.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm here to speak in favor of this bill. Again, it's a clarification. When the department was called the Department of Revenue, one time they would say yes, the next, I'm sorry, Representative Gene Hunoff from District 18.
Thank you.
That's Senator right. Kennedy and I are both from the same district.
Mr. Chairman, she has a wedding coming up. You got to give her a little attitude.
I try.
Thank you. Again, this was just for a clarification. When a retailer went to make application because they had a request to cater an event, the response was, well, we had called Pier, and they said that this did not fall under that statute. Then again, I visited in Pier, and Pier said, well, I think it does. And so we concluded we really need a clarification. It's really a fairness issue. Anyone that has this license has to follow the same rules as that individual business that has the regular liquor license. So I'd ask you to support. And it's just for parity so we can be the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any other proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. David Weiss, Deputy Secretary, South Dakota Department of Revenue, here to support House Bill 1073, an excellent bill to clarify exactly how it works for the full-service restaurant on-sale licenses. And we agree with the prime sponsor of the bill, both on the House and the Senate side. It's a good bill, and we should pass it. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Any other proponent testimony?
Mr. Chair, committee members, Doug Abraham. I'm an attorney from Pier and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. We support HB 1073 as it clarifies when these full-service restaurant licensees can cater and do other additional events, and provides just the necessary clarity so that they continue and engage in this sort of operation and expand their ability to host these type of events. So we'd encourage your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Matt Krogman with the South Dakota Licensed Beverage Dealers and Gaming Association. We're the retail on and off sale. Our members are retail on and off sale liquor licensees throughout the state. Won't take your time repeating what you've already heard. We're in support of 1073 and would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponent testimony? Any other proponents? Seeing none, is there anyone here to testify as an opponent to the bill? Seeing none, I guess there's probably no need for rebuttal. Are there any committee questions? Seeing no questions from the committee, we'll close that phase of this proceeding and move on to committee action. Is there any committee action?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schoenbeck.
I'd move to pass.
Okay. We have a motion by Senator Schoenbeck. Do pass, seconded by Senator Steinhauer. Any comments on the motion? Seeing none, I'll ask the Secretary to call the roll, please.
Senator Kurd, excused. Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Nordstrom?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
6-aye.
The vote having been unanimous with no opposing testimony, we have a...
Hi.
We have the House Bill 1073 has passed, and I will certify it to the consent calendar unless there's any objection. Seeing none, we'll put it on consent. Thank you.
I didn't screw up any part of that.
I had good notes. The next bill we're going to take up, again, out of order to accommodate the witnesses, is House Bill 1125, a bill to revise conditions for selling non-temperature-controlled baked goods without a license. Representative York, I see you're here to testify as a proponent.
Yes, I am. Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Senators. Glad to be here this morning representing quite an easy bill. It should be an easy one for your last day hearing some of our bills. It's just kind of a completion of a bill that was started in 2010, and the bill was at that time, kind of labeled the pickle bill. And it was called the pickle bill because a group of lady entrepreneurs wanted to market their canned goods, pickles and beets and so on. And that's how the bill got started. So there were some restrictions at that time put on the bill, but it did also allow for baked products, non-temperature controlled baked products. For example, that would be like cookies, cupcakes, anything that isn't, it would not apply to a banana cream pie because that's something that would have spoilage. That would be a temperature controlled. Sorry, Lee, I know you like that banana cream pie, but you have to get it at IV. Anyway, all the untemperature controlled products like baked goods. And at that time, they said that if you bake things and we're selling them, you have, first of all, had to have a sales tax license, and that's still in place. The next thing is if you were filling an order for somebody, they had to come to your house and pick it up. Now, that's one of the things we're asking to be changed. In this day and age, sometimes it's a safety factor to invite a stranger to come to your home just because you've baked them a couple dozen cookies. And also, that's part of it. And the other part is if it's a wedding cake or a cupcake tree, some of you have seen some of those creative things. They're pretty hard for the customer to set up for themselves. This change in the new bill would allow for the baker to go ahead and deliver their own products and set them up if that's part of the deal. The other thing was you put a restriction, or the senators or representatives at that time, put a restriction of $5,000 income on that business. Now, that's kind of stifling to young entrepreneurs that are trying to get a business started. South Dakota is open for business. We've heard that many times this session. And if an entrepreneur wants to get their start this way, it's kind of nice to let them make a little money at it. The lady that's been working with me on the bill, who, by the way, is in Jamaica today and couldn't come, but she said that she worked at Valentine's Day, she had baked 1,200 and some cookies. Now she's got to take off about 3 months so that she can finish up in the fall so she doesn't exceed her $5,000 limit. And it seems a little bit unreasonable to have a $5,000 income on anybody's job. I mean, that's a pretty low figure. So I asked to have the cap taken off that because we like businesses to make as much money as we can, collect as much sales tax as they can, too. And the other thing there is, you'll notice that there is an amendment on this bill that was approved by the other committee, and that amendment came from the Department of Health. They're all for the bill. They have no problem with it. They haven't had any problems over the years since they started this. But they wanted to change their system. They've had a numbering system. If you were going to get a sales tax license and do these products, you had to just register a number with the Department of Health. They said now that this business is expanding a little bit, they'd like to see it just be a name. You know, if you bake a dozen cookies, you put a sticker on there that tells who baked them and where they came from. So that was the amendment that was unanimously approved by the other committee, and that's the essence of the bill. And I guess I'll just stay here for any questions unless there's other, I'm not sure if there's any other proponents or not.
Okay, thank you, Representative York. Any other proponent testimony on House Bill 1125? Any other proponents? Seeing none, is there anyone here to speak in opposition to House Bill 1125? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll dispense with rebuttal and move to committee questions. Are there any questions from any members of the committee? Senator Stalzer.
Yeah, like Senator Schoenbeck asked in Judiciary this morning, are there samples?
I will not rule that out of order.
When the lady was here before, she apologized. She said she wanted to bring some samples of her goodies, but she was afraid that would look like a bribe, so she decided she better not do that.
All right.
And that committee, too, said, yeah, those kind of bribes are okay.
All right. Any other serious questions from the committee?
You've lost control.
I have lost control of the meeting. All right. Seeing no more serious questions, thank you again, Representative.
Thank you, Senators.
To committee action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schoenbeck.
I've moved to pass on House Bill 1125.
We have a motion, do pass, made by Senator Schoenbeck, seconded by Senator Monroe. Are there any comments on the motion? Hearing none, we'll move ahead and ask the Secretary to call the roll, please.
Senator Curd.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
7-aye.
All right. The vote on House Bill 1125 is 7-0. The bill has passed committee because it is a unanimous vote with no opposition testimony. I'll certify this for the consent calendar unless there's any objection. Okay. Seeing none, we'll move forward. And before we get back into the agenda, I've got two items. I've noticed that a group of people has shown up all wearing T-shirts that look the same. Does anyone want to tell us who you are and who you represent, please? All right. Well, thank you for being here today. We appreciate it. And we skipped a page because when we did page introductions, she'd snuck out. So if you would please tell us who you are, where you're from, and what your plans are.
My name's Brianna Lynn. I'm from the Plankington High School as a junior. And after I graduate, I hope to go to D-Dub for accounting.
All right. Thank you. Are you enjoying your time here so far?
Yes, very much so.
Okay. Very good. We're now going to move on to the third bill on our calendar, which it started as the first bill, but got shuffled. It's a bill to modify requirements regarding the installation and inspection of certain electrical wiring. We'll take proponent testimony first, and I see we have Representative Otten.
You do. Thank you, Mr. Chair, fellow committee members, Representative Herman Otten, District 6. And today I bring you House Bill 1070, which will give a homeowner the ability to wire their own home. If you read the current language in Section 1, currently it states no license is required of an individual installing electrical wiring in his own residence or farmstead. And I guess to me that's kind of clear that would allow an individual to wire their own home, but through the rulemaking process, some of that's been eliminated. And if you remember my plumbing bill last year, it was the exact same wording and issue there. And if you now read the new language in the bill, which says including on the premises of a single family dwelling unit that is in the process of being constructed, if the person owns the premise and intends to occupy the premise as the person's residence when construction is complete. Now this mirrors the language that I had in 36-25-17 dealing with the plumbing last year. Now, this individual would still have to follow all the same codes, get all the same inspections, pay all the same fees as a licensed electrician would today. And this does only talk about a new home under construction, because currently in statute, if you finish reading a little bit with that and some of the other rules, an individual can already do wiring on their home if they're doing additions or remodeling work on those. So that's already permitted. You move into your house, the basement's unfinished, you can get your license, wire it to code, have it inspected the way it is. So this just moves the ability for your new home to do the exact same thing. And there are some rules, and I'm not going to read them all unless you'd like me to, but we have Rule 2044-14-1, which is general definitions, and that talks about an owner's exemption from licensing requirements. We have 2044-1907, and that is the commission's responsibility to provide inspections for inspection fees, and subsection 4 of that allows them to charge an additional fee if there is an additional inspections required of it. And then we have 2044-2010, which is a minimum fee for the request of electrical inspection. I believe those are $50 a piece with them. And then there's another one, everybody's always got the questions, what about house flippers? Somebody's going to get a license, sell the house, get another license to do it again a year from now. And we have 2044-2206, which talks about that also, that says if you're going to apply for another permit within 3 years of being granted your first one, the homeowner must provide a written explanation of the request and file the explanation and the homeowner's wiring permit with the commission. So they have the ability to review that and to make sure there is nobody out there trying to flip homes on this deal, because that is not the intentions of it. This is for somebody who's going to move into their own home. So with that, I will stand by for any questions, and I will just mention J.J. Lynn, the commissioner of the Electoral Commission, is here to answer questions if you may have any. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any other proponent testimony at this time? Anyone else who wishes to speak in support of this bill? Seeing none, is there anyone here as an opponent of this bill? Anyone who wants to speak in opposition? You need to come up and identify yourself, please. Yeah, have you signed in? Paige? Thank you. Yeah, just hold on a second. We've got to get you to sign in first, please.
I'm representing myself as a citizen. And I just have a simple question as to the 60, what is the average amperage that goes to a personal residence?
Okay. All right. And is there, does the proponent or anyone else wish to answer that question if they can?
What is the average amperage that goes into a personal residence, roughly? Because the bill talks about 60 amperes, and you know, just trying to get an understanding of what, because at that point, my understanding is that anything less than 60 amps is not required to be open to the open inspection.
All right, and again, I see someone who's volunteered to answer your question. So if you would please step aside when you're finished signing in. We'll let this gentleman identify himself and try to answer your question.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, J.J. Lynn, Executive Director of the Electrical Commission. In the question, he's addressing the average amperage, which is unknown to me. But it's also that what we're talking here and changing in the bill is new construction of new homes. And with that, I don't foresee any new homes going in with an amperage lower than 60. Therefore, the ones that we're truly discussing today, and there's an or in that section, and it talks about equipment. So even if you had one with the code changes or the updated codes since this section of the bill was written, no matter what, any installation that I know of would be required to be permitted, inspected, and in compliance with code.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lynn. Mr. Althoff, did that answer your question?
Clarification,
thanks. Okay. All right.
You lost the mic.
I just want to make sure that everybody could hear your response, Mr. Althoff, because we've got internet listeners.
It offers me some sense of clarification, and I appreciate dealing with that.
Okay, thank you, sir.
An opportunity to bring that to light as well.
Okay, thank you. Any other opponent testimony or any other questions from the audience? Okay, seeing none, I guess since there was, I'm not sure if that was opponent or what it was, but I will offer an opportunity to the prime sponsor for a rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Herman Otten, District 6. And that is current language in statute with that. But, you know, with the new home, you're typically going to see 120 to 240. So this really isn't going to affect the new home construction. Okay? So
any other?
But it will exceed the 60. So it's not going to be a problem with the new home construction.
Okay. So, any
this point, we'll close the public testimony phase of this. Are there any questions? Senator Steinhauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This would be for Representative Otten, I believe. Representative, lines 14 and 15 are also being added that the Commission may promulgate rules pursuant to Chapter 1-26 to set an allotted number of inspections for each installation. Can you tell me what's going on and why that's being added?
Well, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
They have to do a little bit of work on the rules to make this language apply for the new homes. And not, as to the inspection portion, I'm really not sure as to what the Electrical Commission was thinking about, if they have to do anything with the additional inspections, because there is a provision in there, but they do have to rework some of these rules to make this provision apply. So I think this just gives them the rulemaking authority to do so.
Senator Steinhauer, follow-up?
Yes, thank you. So a follow-up, if I can. My guess in my own interpretation of what's going on here, Representative, is that there may have been a reluctance to issue a permit to someone building a new home while they were living in their old home. Is that in part what's going on here?
I can't say yes or no to that, but that is a reasonable assessment of why that could be that way. Do you care to answer or add to that?
Yes. Mr. Lynn, do you have anything to add in response to Senator Steinhauer?
Mr. Chair, yes. J.J. Lynn, the Electrical Commission. So are you talking, sir, in the second section when we were talking about the allotted inspections?
Or were no, I apologize. I kind of changed topics on that question because I accepted his answer, but I was just kind of what was the what generated this, and my assumption was is that since you could build a or you could wire your own home before, but now we're saying it can be new construction that you're wiring is kind of what I'm getting. While you're wiring under new construction, you might not want to live in that mess, so you're just living someplace else. Is it an issue that you didn't previously were reluctant to issue permits to someone residing someplace while they're building a new house?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, the word, the true word in the rules section is reside. And that's where we had a problem, where it didn't say that you were going to reside. It said you must reside. And that's where we took it as the commission, that as long as you are unable to reside in that new home as you already reside in your current one, you are not able to gain the approval of a homeowner permit under the current statute.
Yes. Senator Steinhauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So follow-up on the question of reside. And I'll just tell you a personal experience, you know, with this situation, because I think there's a few fortunate ones like myself, South Dakota, that have a lake cabin or a cabin in the hills or someplace else. Second home that I do not rent out. I'm the only one that resides there. What's the definition of reside?
Mr. Chair, at this time, since you do not reside in that location, and that's what we really asked for, the section on clarification of the rules, so we can go to the rules and expand on the cabins and other items of what you would be able to utilize the homeowner wiring permit for. But at this time, since you do not reside in the cabin and it is not new construction, you would not be able to utilize a homeowner's permit to wire that structure.
Senator Steinhauer.
Comment on that. In that, I certainly understand that we don't want individuals not licensed, although even with that, we inspect to make sure that it's done properly. So sometimes I think what we're doing here is just trying to protect a profession when our goal is to really protect the public with licensing. And I think sometimes we get that confused, but I certainly would agree that we don't want unlicensed individuals wiring structures that are going to be rented out. And today, with Airbnb and all of that, I can see where you'd want to be a lot more cautious about that. But if you're telling me that I shouldn't have wired my cabin, and we can talk about how I got the permit some other time, because I did get a permit, and it did pass. I got compliments. The thing is when I was doing it, I didn't know that I was going to have this crazy job, and my plan would have been probably to spend more than 50% of my time there. So somebody might say, well, it depends on where you register to vote. I think the definition of even if you're a resident in this state, as evidenced by the last election, is unclear, if you remember some of the disputes. So as you promulgate rules, as a senator, I'm encouraging you, and I will watch as the rules come through, that you try to preclude individuals from wiring things that they intend to do on Airbnb, but allow individuals to wire up things that they themselves are going to reside at temporarily or permanently, regardless of where they vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Are there any other questions from the committee? Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Lynn. Thank you, Representative Otten. We'll close the testimony phase and move on to committee discussion or action. Senator Steinhauer.
Move to pass.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion from Senator Steinhauer, do pass on House Bill 1070, seconded by Senator Schoenbeck. Any comments on the motion? Senator Steinhauer.
I think this bill is a step in the right direction. I still think there's, as my questions indicated, some ambiguity on reside, but I trust that they'll clear that up in the promulgation of rules.
Okay. Any other comments on the motion do pass? Okay. Seeing none, I'd ask the Secretary to call the roll, please.
Senator Curd.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
7-0.
Okay. The motion has passed, 7-0. House Bill 1070 has cleared its committee. I think in light of the fact that we had a question asked during the opponent phase of the process, we will not certify House Bill 1070 for consent. That concludes the items on our agenda for today. One item I would like to take as sort of a personal privilege, and that is I'd like to thank Senator Stalzer for giving me the opportunity to sit up in his chair for once and bang the gavel. It's something I'll probably never get a chance to do again, so I appreciate him giving me this opportunity. My point exactly. So...
If I might, yes, not on that topic, but the Senator, the Chairman and I have been talking as well, and I just, if the committee isn't aware, we only have one bill left in the committee, which I believe is going to be heard Tuesday. Presumably we're going to have some others assigned to us, but we just have one bill left.
And I would like to personally thank our Chairman for doing such a good job of getting us through our workload so that on crossover day we're done at just after 10:30.
Nice.
Any other items that we need to discuss before we close the meeting? Senator Steinhauer.
Mr. Chair, well run.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Anything else? If not, I would remind everybody like me who has a binder to leave it behind. We'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The meeting is adjourned.